The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 7th of November 2022, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. If you want to join the conversation this morning, you can call into the show at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. The Guardian Radio text line is powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96. Or 422-4747-96. Standard text rates apply. Well, good morning. There's lots to talk about this morning. The first is story on the top of the Guardian. Be on alert. Officials keeping close eye on weather system. So please stay tuned. Radio on. In fact, everybody should have a radio in their home, at least one. Always try to tune in to the news breaks on Guardian Radio, where they will have, I'm sure, regular updates about the weather. What I've done on social media is that I am following a number of weather sites on social media. So whenever there's heightened or increased activity in the area, you find that there are more and more posts. I have those people I'm following on social media, like I have a notification for their posts. So they always show up when they release information. And there is a 5 a.m. report I'm looking for. Perhaps there's been another report since then. But in particular, I think for the extreme Northwest Bahamas and Northwest Bahamas, we must be prepared. We must be alert. We must always have a radio nearby, right? Things get more and more hectic. So we're not waiting for people to come and find us and tell us the news. We are going out and we are looking for the news. Everybody, stay calm and begin to prepare. Remember, you need waterproof and watertight storage containers, from Ziploc bags to bins and larger storage containers. Kits with lids. That's why it's so important. If you don't understand why your grammy or your uncle or your daddy always rowing you about his buckets, because he have a plan for them. Always keep lids with buckets. Test them to make sure that they continue to seal properly. These are important things. There are a number of stories in the papers today to talk about. Grocers reject government's final price control list. That's in today's Guardian. In the Tribune, headline is Food Retailers Hoping to Reach Price Control Deal. Then in the front of the Tribune, 2,000 government staff offered pay rise. Proposals on increases put forward to Bahamas Public Service Union, which leads me to two quick stories. I think I may have removed them. There are two stories on one on minimum wage. The government indicating that the bill, I think, has been passed in the lower house. And although the current intended minimum wage has not reached a livable wage yet, that the government is still intends to implement a livable wage at some point. And then there was a story from Fusion, you know, offering concern, sharing concern, and asking the government to be cautious and concerned about the impact of these wage increases on the overall business. Question for Fusion, you know, the government hasn't been very transparent about the process. You know, remember when you had the issue with your staff and your obligations to your staff, Fusion? The government wasn't very transparent about that whole process. And so we just want to say to large businesses who may think that they've reached the point of, quote unquote, too big to fail, like, come on. Please think about the workers. Think about the laborers. It's like maybe we need to have Labor Day once a month. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we need to have Labor Day once a month so we could remind people that at the base of this pyramid are the workers, are the laborers, are the employees. Couple of other stories coming in from over the week, but there are sort of two that I want to focus on. A story in last week's papers, dated the 3rd of November, 2022. Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project. The headline in that story is Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project. And I'm going to read from that article. The Town Planning Committee has approved a $200 million gated subdivision development for Adelaide, even after Environment Minister Vaughan Miller raised concerns at a recent public meeting about possible impacts to the environment. Keenan Johnson, that's Town Planning Committee Chairman, told the Nassau Guardian the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection has no objections to the project. Quote, we reviewed the application after the public hearing, Johnson said. Most of the concerns raised at the public hearing were related to environmental issues. As a result, we met with the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, which confirmed they had no concerns from an environmental perspective, which is why they issued a certificate of environmental clearance. After having that meeting, we decided to approve it from a town planning perspective. Asked last month how the developer secured a certificate of environmental clearance, if he, as environment minister, has serious concerns over the proposed project, Miller said, quote, the member of parliament for Golden Isles expressed concerns on behalf of his constituents and himself, close quote. Now let's stick a pin here. I'm just going to assume that this is a typo. I didn't get an opportunity to find the person who wrote this article and ask them myself. I'm just going to assume that that's a typo. I'm going to read it again. Asked last month how the developer secured a certificate of environmental clearance if he, as environment minister, has serious concerns over the proposed project, Miller said, Quote, the Member of Parliament for Golden Isles expressed concerns on behalf of his constituents and himself. Close quote. So like I said, I'm just going to presume that that was a typo. When I say that, what I mean is that somehow there was another Miller present in the room who answered the question. Because why would the Member of Niles, Mr. Vaughan Miller, be talking about himself in the third person? Which leads me to another question. Why would Mr. Vaughan Miller, the Minister for the Environment, go to a meeting about a project that has great environmental impact and speak on the potential environmental impact, but not speak as the Minister of Environment, of the Environment? And why wouldn't he have made it pellucidly clear at the time that he was speaking that he wasn't speaking? Right? Like, before he said it, why didn't he say, now look here, people, I'm not speaking in my capacity as the Minister of the Environment. I'm only speaking in my capacity as an MP for Golden Isles and a resident. Which leads me to another question. Has the Honorable Vaughan Miller suffered the same fate as the Honorable Ferreira, who, when his portfolio of environment sort of taken from, I may be mistaken, because I never been to no cabinet meeting, but is that what has happened in this instance? Has this particular part of the portfolio been removed from his purview? And isn't that important? I think that's important. Anyway, let's go back to the article. Remember, we're reading from an article, Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project, dated November the 3rd, 2022. Quote, the meeting with the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, nobody attended the meeting. So from their perspective, there was no opposition to it. That meeting held by Town Planning was very well attended and very strong opposition to the project was expressed. I read that again. The meeting with the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, nobody attended the meeting, so from their perspective, there was no opposition to it. That meeting held by Town Planning was very well attended and very strong opposition to the project was expressed. So I got a couple of questions there as well. What is the protocol for quote-unquote public notice in these matters, right? Like, is there a legal requirement? Does the public notice have to be published, you know, for at least 2 months before the meeting, at least a month before the meeting? Are there deals, locations, and sites where notices must be published? Is there a requirement that they're published via the radio, via television? Is there a requirement that they're published in the newspapers and with a particular frequency? See, because I kind of stuck right here. Nobody attended the meeting, so from their perspective, there was no opposition to it. Like, is there a protocol for decision making? Is there somewhere in some provisions in law or in a policy paper, is there something that says if you have a public meeting and nobody shows up face to face to that meeting to register objection, then we read it as if no objection was made? Is that what's happening? Is it a matter of a lack of budget? Is there a budget for public notices? And who is required to publish the notice? In this particular instance, would it be Adelaide Pines Limited, the developer? Would it be the DEPP? Are the people who potentially are objecting to the project? Are they required to make the public notice? Who is required to publish the notice? I think all of these things are very important. We need to have answers for these. Because I don't think it's reasonable or sound to say, hey, well, ain't nobody show up to the meeting, so nobody must care. Let's go back to the article. We're reading again from the article, Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project, dated November the 3rd, 2022. Myers stressed, he added, there's very high probability that we won't do anything at all because of inflation and cost controls that are occurring globally. And so in the instance that some development has started and the development is paused indefinitely or, you know, canceled, definitely, will the developer be required to restore the land to the state? Will the developer be required to restore the land to the state they met it in? Now, another quote from that article. The project will be a mixed-use development. The development is composed of a residential subdivision, a commercial component, and a light industrial component. It will include 170-plus homes. Okay, so there's a couple of questions there. Given the environmental concerns stated, should there be any commercial or light industrial components given the environmental concerns raised? Is the law or the provisions governing the operation of quote-unquote light industrial components, is it sufficiently substantive, right? Is it strong enough? And when it was written, did it take into consideration these concerns? I'm reading the text. Give me a second. Aaron, if no one shows up to your meeting about gender violence, what would you think? They don't care, right? I need you to stop being foolish and give good advice. Dear texter, thank you for this text. Another text. Great show as usual. They don't care about us. Ah, boy. Dear texter, no. Just because someone doesn't show up to your meeting, it doesn't mean that they don't care. In fact, the government has a greater duty of care. Government can't govern the country like some people think they could raise their children, right? No, we can't do that. The government must act, and it must expect that not everybody could make every meeting. That not everybody may have heard the notice for every meeting. In fact, the government thinks it can operate that way because it continues to attempt to operate that way, a disregard for citizen input. Fortunately, or unfortunately, however you look at it, at the end of the day, these things tend to fail because of a lack of proper public consultation. So they could run off and do it repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly, and repeatedly it fails because it cannot work without proper public consultation. And an issue as large, as important as this particular issue, right? The development of a massive housing project in what is one of the most precious and valuable environments and ecosystems on the island, in a community that has massive cultural and historic significance. No, the government cannot operate like that and just say, oh, well, ain't nobody show up to the meeting, so they must not care. No, you cannot run the government like you run a tuck shop, or like some of these parties run their internal affairs. That's a critique of the importation of party politics and policy into governance, you know, to the disregard of the Constitution. Another text. Yes, the government does treat us as if we are the outtexter. Producer, let's go to this caller, and then we're going to get back to this article. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Quality days is a stack in a waste. We need justice, law, and order in this country, Aaron.
Yes, sir.
But a question before I make my comment.
Yes, sir.
Is that a part of this situation in which you're reading, right?
Yeah.
Is that a part of that air hotel in which they are building someplace out there?
Well, Brayman, you put the cart in front of the horse. I don't think so, right? The Adelaide Pines project is a housing project, right?
Okay.
So I don't think no Airbnb, no hotel. But in my research, right, what I found was that there are a number of projects, right?
Uh-huh.
So there is the Adelaide Pines project, which is a housing project, right?
Go ahead.
Then on the 2nd of November, in the Nassau Tribune, there's an article, first of its kind, Marina for Southern New Providence.
I got you.
And that is at a location right at the southern end of Fox Hill Road.
Okay, let me say something.
Hold on. So there's that one. Then there was a proposed project for Coral Harbor.
I got you.
Right? And that project was put on the back burner in 2015 when the Bahama negotiations sort of blew up.
Okay.
And then earlier this year, they put their bid back in and said, look, we're ready to reduce this project down to $300 million. But I don't know if that can... Anyway, so there are a number of projects that I wanted to talk about,
so
all of them.
So you don't know if they had started in one out west area?
You mean Coral Harbor?
Coral Harbor, right.
Right. I'm not sure if they started that. But I had spoken, I raised concern, someone raised concern with me months ago and asked me to share with the public generally that if you own land in the southwestern corridor near the Coral Harbor area, you should check on your land, and you should check with your and have your lawyer check the system to ensure that nobody is attempted to, what they call that, quiet your title, to take your land.
Okay, let me ask you something.
Yes, sir.
Which one of the meetings won? Spake of pertaining to his constituents, where he was.
That's the Adelaide Pines Limited Town Hall meeting.
Well, knowing that he spake spake for his people, he has that right.
No,
whether
no.
He was there or not.
No,
whether
I...
he was there or not in the for the government. Because he was speaking for his people who put him in the House of Assembly.
I agree. I didn't say he didn't have the right to speak for them. I didn't say that.
But you read a text was applying that, right?
No.
What I missed?
I'm going to read again directly from the article. Town planning proves Adelaide subdivision project, right? Asked last month how the developer secured a certificate of environmental clearance if he, as environment minister, has serious concerns over the proposed project.
Oh, so he has concern. He has a right.
Miller
he
said...
Miller
said the member of parliament for Golden Isles expressed concerns on behalf of his constituents and himself. Nobody is saying that Vaughan Miller can't go to that meeting and express the concerns of his constituents, right?
Okay.
What is being raised is, if you were the Minister of the Environment, why weren't you at that meeting to speak as the Minister of the Environment?
Because he didn't have to be there. He cast his opinion. He already cast his opinion.
As a private citizen and an MP, but why not speak as a cabinet minister on the issue that your portfolio governs?
Well, you never know what he had to do otherwise.
Why did I throw that out there, Brayman? You miss it, Brayman? No. I already threw out that implication. I got to go, Raymond.
Okay, take care.
Yeah, man. Thank you. The real question I was raising was, why would you go to the meeting without a clear position as the Minister of Environment and express that, and then have the space to also express your position as the MP and as a citizen? That's all. I got a couple of texts here. It can't be that important if no one shows up. You may can't attend, but no one came. You live in a fantasy world. Stop your nonsense. No one came. No one. I didn't see the notice. Did you see the notice? Where was the notice published? How was it published? People don't have to read the newspaper, The Guardian or The Tribune. That you don't have to read that by law, but these things have to be published. Right? By law, by policy. The onus is on the government to publish widely. The onus is not on me to follow up on the government. That's their obligation. Tech said that is why VM didn't get invited as Minister of Environment to COP27. But look here, they tell King Charles III he couldn't go to COP27. Great show as usual. You mean Tief the Land? I think quieting is such a, you know, I like it. It's so polite and it seems less suable, you know, less libelous. Aaron, we want to the government to table in Parliament the scope and labor force and other benefits. Okay, what is the light industrial component? Is it related to light as in solar energy or industrial, which affects humans, the environment? No, so I think they say it. And I'm going to read off the articles that I found and read for this information. But it's like maybe a sale-making business, light industrial component. But given the environmental concerns, should there be any industrial component, even if it's light? I even question commercial, right? Another text, and then we come into you right now. Caller, I've been to those town hall meetings. If 90% of people disagree strongly, the committee still says we'll take it under advisement. It feels like you can appeal and appeal and appeal. Right? And so what is, thank you, Texter, is where can I find the protocol, right, for this? Where can I find the policy paper? How can I find out what the proper procedure is for decision making in these processes? I got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Good morning. How you do?
Happy Monday.
Happy, happy Monday.
Listen, I'm listening to you talk. This sounds to me like the property that the Bahamian guy wanted to acquire over PI, and then the government came and gave it to the cruise ship, the Disney or whatever. Because mm-hmm. This is how it kind of coming off to me. You understand?
Okay.
If nobody attends, how can it be okay? How can it be? How could you give your blessing to someone, something that no one attended? Should you publish it again, like you say, put it where it can be seen, you know, announce it on the radio? You know, 90% of the Bahamas listen to the talk shows, especially on the Guardian radio at morning. Shouldn't this be, you know, something that they give you all an ad to run so everybody who is involved, especially the persons who live in the Adelaide constituency, to have an opinion at these meetings? This sounds too secretive. It really sounds like a teasy thing to me.
Yeah, and that's it. It has the air of, right?
Yeah.
It has the smell of. And a couple of things. Politicians know how to get the word out. When it's voting time, they know how to get the word out. Why is that the only culture they don't import from parties into governance?
You understand? Because the properties that they're looking at, I have a piece adjacent. I hope it's adjacent to what they're looking at, and I hope my property is not what they're trying to take. You understand?
Yes.
I've been there now since 2003. So I'm trying to figure out if I'm involved in this, and this is what I wanted to know. I didn't see no information about it. I didn't hear anything about any meeting. You know, now that you're talking about it, now that I'm finding out. You understand me?
Yes, ma'am.
But, I don't have a problem with it being developed because I think it brings some type of livelihood to the admin constituency.
Yeah.
But however, a texter said that one Miller, Mr. Miller was not invited. But I think they said Environment was invited to COP20.
Technical staff are going. Just not the minister responsible.
The reason why he wasn't there was probably because he was an angel. But, you know, I may be wrong.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Thank you very much, ma'am. All right, so, like I said, I was reading from an article, Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project. And I found articles all the way back to the 7th of September. When we come back from the break, I'm going to give you the titles of all of the articles that you should read to follow up on this. And then we're going to get into some more questions. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You're on the clock. We'll be right back.
Okay, class, let's begin today's history lesson. Ancient civilization used to visit stadiums to watch musicians perform. It was called a live concert.
Teacher, what year was that?
Researchers believe it was around 2019. Normal life feels like a long time ago. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, rubella, polio, hepatitis, mumps, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to my just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. The numbers to call in are 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. You can text the show at 422-GR96. Like some of my texters remind me to do every day, we must declare our biases. And I think people who've been listening to the show know what my bias is. In case you didn't, I really want to know, are we talking about Adelaide Pines Limited, African Liberated Way, or Palm Beach Drive, right? I mean, it's about declaring biases. This first came to my attention when I realized that the street signs I was looking at said something that wasn't African Liberated Way. And I couldn't imagine how that could have happened without public notice. I couldn't imagine how the name of the road in one of the oldest communities and most treasured communities in the country, that y'all changed the name from Liberated African Way to Palm Beach Drive without national notice. That's the sort of thing that requires a referendum. you know? So from then, I was watching this because if you could change the name of that road from African Liberated Way to Palm Beach Drive without telling the people, without declaring and making public notice that that's what you intend to do, you could do anything. Caller, give me a second. Let me do a timeline of the articles that I read to pull this together. Okay, so you can start with $63 million Adelaide project pledges up to 300 jobs. That's in the Nassau Tribune, and that's the 7th of September, 2022. $63 million Adelaide project pledges up to 300 jobs. The next article is number two, Minister and ex-PM voice concern on $63 million project. That's also in the Tribune, and that's the 23rd of September. That's the 23rd of September. The next article, proposed Adelaide project draws criticism. That's of September in The Guardian. That's in The Guardian. And then the fourth article is the one we started reading from. Town Planning approves Adelaide subdivision project. And that's the 3rd of November, November 3rd, 2022. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. Sorry, caller. I see we got another one popping up right now. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
We change the name before we sell it. Figure it out. Half Moon Key. Little San Salvador, Half Moon Key, gone.
Boy, Graham, that's it right now, and y'all trying to change the y'all trying to change the name of the water around the Bahamas to Lakai NC so y'all could sell it, right?
That's very perceptive, and I think it's Mr. Bethel. We had a long conversation. We get into that, but Hog Island, Paradise Island, sold.
Boy, look here, Graham. I got to cut you, man.
Oh, cut me.
No,
Batelco, BTC, sold. You ready for the rest of the selling?
Go. I mean, just
the list could go on. You ready?
Yeah, go. Give me one more.
Ragged Island, Coco Key, sold.
Look here, be quiet. That's why I wanted to cut you from the first time. Producer, cut Graham. Graham, thank you for calling. No, Graham. They're going to name the whole. Okay, is it Little Ragged Island they're going to name Coco Key? What? See, because there was a hurricane. And what I find fascinating is, like, it's always the people in opposition who say these things. But the then leader of the opposition, I can find a quote, because, you know, when you're quoting people, especially if they could be a lawyer or a doctor, you got to be careful, you know. But one of those leaders of the opposition, I swear, said, oh, you know, we're really going to have to seriously consider foreign direct investment to continue to develop these islands. And then there was another hurricane. And another leader of the opposition said a similar thing, you know? I think they were down. I think one of them was after Hurricane Joaquin. They hit that Long Island area. And another one was after one of the storms hit Ragged Island, right? Oh, we're going to have to consider foreign direct investment to help us develop these islands. And I have just one thing to say. I don't think you all understand the value, right? Like the historic value of Ragged Island, like the anthropologic value. Like, I don't think we understand that we have not gone into Ragged Island and done sufficient work, unless, of course, somebody already has gone into Ragged Island and done that work surreptitiously, like under the covers, without telling the Bahamian people that's what's been going on. Now, this is a fascinating point of interest, right? Because this is sort of similar to the Adelaide situation. Like, who gets to make the decision? Is it simply the residents of Ragged Island alone who get to make these really huge decisions? Like a decision like, oh no, we as an association of residents and descendants, right, we have authorized the excavation of these areas, right? And we feel that we should own everything. Or, right, is it a national decision? And should that same, a similar protocol be applied to a decision like Adelaide? Anyway, I got another caller on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, and how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Yeah, I think, you know, we got to understand that the persons we elect most of the time a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't lean in the direction of development. You know, all they want is fees most of the time. Okay?
Mm.
You know, fees for this and fees for that. You know, every foreign entity or person that comes into this country needs a lawyer on their side. Now, if we're gonna have a place that has like true like leadership,
yeah,
the persons who we elect must lead now. But see, this preoccupation with foreign direct investment is also an indicator of their lack of commitment to us leading ourselves out of 1967 or out of 1973.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think?
I appreciate what you're saying. I think, you know, last week we had a conversation about laziness versus lack of motivation.
Mm-hmm.
I think the question should start at the very top. You know, what will it take to motivate our leaders to govern on behalf of Bahamians, the whole of the Bahamas?
Yeah, no, but I think too, you know, we gotta ask them a question up front. You know, what are your expectations?
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And apparently, you know, they ain't got none. You know, all they want to do is kick this can again and again and again down the road, up the hill, across the pond.
Because, whatever. You know, they get paid for kicking the can, not for achieving results. Anyway, look here. See why I had to cut Graham? Now I got to cut you too, sir. Anyway,
yeah, baby, okay.
Thank you so much. This is a wonderful contribution, eh? Thank you. All right, so... And this is a question, you know, what do politicians think their job is? What do they think their job is? Is it just to perpetuate the status quo, or is it to push us forward, to move us along?
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up.
These are some of the important questions. All right, so I read from Town Planning Approves Adelaide Subdivision Project, right? Article 3rd of November. I didn't really get to many of the questions that arose for me from the other articles, right? But we're going to sort of get to that. I want to push forward slightly. Caller, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
And how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Well, you know, when I start calling into shows, you know that the subject matter is one of great importance.
Yes, sir.
Aaron, let me put it like this so our Bahamian people can understand. A lot of persons would believe that a lot of the commentary of the propaganda or conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really look at the evidence presented to you, it's of no consequence that, you know, persons would conceive a lot of these things as being factual or even factual, even if a lot of persons believe that it's only conspiracy. You asked a very interesting question a couple seconds ago that prompted me to call, and that is, you know, what is the real task of our parliamentarians?
Mm-hmm.
Are they there to legislate and pass policies that will benefit the Bahamian people in the Bahamas, or is it just pure self-interest?
Mm-hmm.
99%, I could go on a limb and say this. Let me go one notch down. 98% of the time, when you really do background checks on a lot of these things that they're doing, chances are to the one is self-interest. Okay, we have a lot of traveling right now. The Bahamian people are still asking, what are the benefits of all these trips that has been taken? Nothing has been really presented to the Bahamian people as yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they're using the tax dollars. And right now we have this discrepancy going on right now where there's this big we won't even touch. But you see how things go? They are actually arming the people that to form conspiracy theories. You know, bring the information to the Bahamian people so we can understand what are you doing on behalf of the Bahamian people and the Bahamas, and how does it benefit us?
That's all
we're asking for, you know.
We are asking a little bit more, not just how does it benefit us. B, what do I need to do to further that agenda? And C, what do I need to do to ensure that I and other people could benefit and continue to benefit from it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I can appreciate that input.
Yeah.
I can appreciate that because, you know, right now as it stands, on average, a lot of Bahamians believe that there's nothing, no plans right now that really, from the collective standpoint of it,
mm-hmm.
we don't see any tangible benefit, mm-hmm. per se, that's going to propel this country forward, upward, and onward. And, you know, it's just that. When you have your people, in closing, when you have your people to that standpoint, thinking the way how they're thinking when they're, then the evidence is not being presented, then you have no choice but to allow the people then to have the free reign to think that this thing, as we term it as conspiracy theory, is nothing but something that's factual.
Yeah.
Our government has to do a much better job in including our voices, including our participation, and allowing us to prosper in this wealthy country that we are not benefiting from. Thanks
absolutely.
For taking my call, Eric.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I just, what your country could do for you, it's let us know how we can further this national agenda. Let me know how to prepare myself and my children to be a part of the national vision and further the national agenda, right? And so, before, as I end the show, we talked about the Adelaide Pines Limited project, right? There are more projects out there, though. The article, Phoenix from the Ashes, Grand Bahama's $250 million resort spark. That's the Nassau Tribune, the 4th of November, 2022. First of its kind marina for Southern New Providence. That's the Tribune, the 2nd of November, 2022. Right? Billion-dollar coral harbor development, now a $300 million project. That's April the 20th. 2022. So you've got the Adelaide Pines project, which is a housing project, right? Then you've got the Grand Bahama Sixth Senses Resort project at the 30-acre Barbary Beach site, right? And so the question is, what happened to the Grand Lucayan sale and project? And what happens if a government-owned Grand Lucayan has to compete against the Six Senses Resort? Right? And here's another question. We got the Adelaide. We got the Coral Harbor. Can the Adelaide, are they sustainable? The Coral Harbor and the Adelaide project, are they economically sustainable? And are they environmentally sustainable? So all of these impact environmental impact assessments, are they asked to take into account the potential impact on the environment if the other projects are also successful? Has that been factored in? Have we thought about all of this? Is somebody sitting down with these questions? Is the government serious about economic diversification? Or are you simply saying, listen, tourism is what we do. We're just going to diversify how we do it. Is that what we're saying? And should we create a special court to hear land disputes related to these major developments? These are some of the questions that arose for me because there's no indication that people are thinking about these in the articles. But let me say, I hope that I made it clear to people that I don't have a problem declaring my biases on the show. And from my ask y'all, can you tell me how to get to Liberated African Way? Because all I could see is Palm Beach Drive. Anyway, my biases are declared. The question, though, is, despite how I feel about the entire thing, have the proper procedures been followed? Do those procedures need to change? Do we need to reconsider and revamp how we do public consultation? finished with these conversations? No, producer, let's go. Pick up the music. Don't mind me. Pick up the music. Are we finished with these considerations? Is the government prepared to talk to us as a whole about the way forward? Because people want to know, how will this benefit me? How can this benefit me? What do I need to do? How do I need to prepare myself to benefit from what it is that you're doing? It's not all just negative critique. Please come talk to us. Anyway, I had a whole bunch more to talk about. Hopefully we'll get to that tomorrow. Thank you, producer. Just one last text, Ms. Green. We don't need another mega project in New Providence. I want to talk about that as well. Anyway, thank you, producer. Thank you, texters. Thank you, callers. You guys have a great day and stay tuned because Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Newry is up next.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.